ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम थर्ड कैंटो चैप्टर 25 द ग्लोरीज ऑफ डिवोशनल सर्विस टेक्स्ट 26 भक्त्या पुमान जात विराग इंद्रिया दृष्ट श्रुता मद रचनानुचिन्तया चित्तस्य यत्तो ग्रहणे योगयुक्तो यतिष्यते ऋजुभिर् योग मार्गैः। भक्ता पुमान जात विराग इंद्रियान् दृष्ट श्रुतान् मद रचनानुचिन्तया चित्तस्य यत्तो ग्रहणे योगयुक्त यतिष्यते ऋजुभिर्योगमार्गैः। भक्ता पुमान जात विराग दृष्ट श्रुतान् मद रचनानुचिन्तया चित्तस्य यत्तो ग्रहणे योगयुक्त यतिष्यते ऋजुभिर्योगमार्गैः। भक्ता पुमान जात विराग इंद्रियान् दृष्ट श्रुतान् मद रचनानुचिन्तया चित्तस्य यत्तो ग्रहणे योगयुक्त यतिष्यते ऋजुभिर्योगमार्गैः। भक्त्या बाय डिवोशनल सर्विस पुमान अ पर्सन जातो विराग हैविंग डेवलप डिस्टेस्ट इंद्रियात फॉर सेंस ग्रेटिफिकेशन दृष्टा आई एम सॉरी दृष्टो सीन इन दिस वर्ल्ड श्रुता हर्ड in the next world, mat rochana, my activities of creation and so on, anuchintaya, by constantly thinking about, chittasya, of the mind, yattaha, engaged, grahane, in the control, Yoga Yukta, situated in devotional service, Jatishate, will endeavor, Rijubhi, easy, Yoga Margai, by the process of mystic power. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Thus consciously engaged in devotional service, in the association of devotees, a person gains distaste for sense gratification, both in this world and in next, by constantly thinking about the activities of the Lord. The process of Krishna consciousness is the easiest process of mystic power. When one is actually situated on the path of devotional service, he is also to control the mind. Please repeat after me. Thus consciously engaged in devotional service, in the association of devotees, a person gains distaste for sense gratification, both in this world and in the next, by constantly thinking about the activities of the Lord, this process of Krishna consciousness is the easiest process of mystic power.
When one is actually situated on that path of devotional service, he is able to control the mind.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In all scriptures, people are encouraged to act in a pious way so that they can enjoy sense gratification not only in this life but also in the next. For example, one is promised promotion to the heavenly kingdom of higher planets by pious fruitive activities. But a devotee in the association of devotees prefers to contemplate the activities of the Lord, how he has created this universe, how he is maintaining it, how the creation dissolves, and how in the spiritual kingdom the Lord's pastimes are going on. There are full literatures describing these activities of the Lord, especially Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Samhita, and Srimad Bhagavatam. The sincere devotee who associates with devotees gets the opportunity to hear and contemplate the subject of pastimes of the Lord, and the result is that he feels distaste for so-called happiness in this or that world, in heaven or on other planets. The devotees are simply interested in being transferred to the personal association of the Lord. They have no more attraction for temporary so-called happiness. That is the position of one who is Yogajukta, one who is fixed in mystic power, is not disturbed by the allurements of this world or that world. He is interested in the matters of spiritual understanding or the spiritual situation. This sublime situation is very easily attained by the easiest process, bhakti yoga. Rijubhir yoga margai. A very suitable word used here is rijubhi, or very easy. There are different processes of yoga marga, attaining yoga perfection, but this process, devotional service to the Lord, is the easiest. Not only is it the easiest process, but the result is sublime. Everyone therefore should try to take this process of Krishna consciousness and reach the highest perfection of life.
Bhakta pumanjata virago indriyad drishta srutan mant rachanan chintaya chittasya jatto grahane yoga yukta jatishyate rijubhir yoga margai.
Thus consciously engaged in devotional service in the association of devotees, a person gains distaste for sense gratification both in this world and in the next. By constantly thinking about the activities of the Lord, the process of Krishna consciousness is the easiest process of mystic power. When one is actually situated on that path of devotional service, he is able to control his mind. So Kapil Dev instructions are so wonderful. That's why Prabhupada actually separately got this book printed as the teachings of Lord Kapila. The teachings of Lord Kapila. So Kapil Dev teachings are very, very sublime and very pertinent. is giving a very clear understanding of Krishna consciousness. That's why this chapter has been entitled as the glories of devotional service. The glories of devotional service. In this, through this chapter, we can really understand what the devotional service is, the glory of devotional service properly. Like, here we are seeing Kapildev instruction is, previous verses instruct was also very important. Previous verse was Satan Prashangan Mamu Bhijasambhi. The importance of association of devotees have been described. Mamo Birja Sambhido Bhagavat Katha. That is, Satang, how does it happen? Satang Prashangan. In the association of devotees, we understand the importance of Krishna consciousness. Powerful. Birja Sambhido Krishna Anu Katha. Satang Prashangan Mamo Birja Sambhido Bhavanti Ritkarna Rasayana Katha. So this Katha, Krishna Katha, is the Rasayana, is the source of joy for heart and the ears. Actually, we cannot appreciate Krishna Katha with this material ear. The real Krishna Katha will be appreciated by the ears of the heart. The spiritual ears. Material ears wants to hear about all kinds of mundane music. Jazz, rap, classical. Material ears always want to hear that. But the spiritual ears want to hear Rasayana Katha. The katha, the Krishna katha, that is full of mellows, full of rasa, which is the source of joy, ananda. Ritkarna rasayana katha. And as a result of hearing that, tadyoshanadashu apavarga vatmani, very quickly, we become free from material bondage. And shraddha ratir bhakti ramukramishyati. We develop Shraddha. Shraddha shabde vishyash kahe shudrira nishchay Krishna bhakti koile sarva karma krita. Shraddha has been defined in this. What is Shraddha? Shraddha means that implicit faith, that firm faith that if I serve Krishna, then everything is done. All my activities, all my duties, all my responsibilities are fulfilled just by serving Krishna. That is Shraddha. In the material nature, we have so many duties. Oh, I have to maintain my family. Oh, I have to earn money. Oh, I have to become famous. Oh, I have to become so many things. But Shraddha means Sarva Dharman Parityajya. Give up all those nonsense. They are all nonsense. The nonsense means they don't have any sense. Your so-called duties in the material nature doesn't actually have any sense. What really matters is service to Krishna. Now, if you serve Krishna, will your does it mean that your family will not be maintained? If you serve Krishna, does it mean that you have to starve? If you serve Krishna, does it mean that you have to become bereft of everything? No. You are serving Krishna. And what is the result of your serving Krishna? How many of you are serving Krishna? And what is the result of serving Krishna? Are you in poverty-stricken condition? When you serve Krishna, then all your every sarva karma krita hai. all the responsibilities are fulfilled. Whether you are a brahmachari, whether you are a vanaprastha, whether you are a sannyasi, or whether you are a household. Everyone has only one responsibility, that is to serve. So that is the meaning of Shraddha. So on Shraddha, spiritual life, devotional service actually begins from Shraddha. Adau Shraddha. Adau means at the beginning. Right? For devotion, how does the devotional service begin? Devotional service begins with Shraddha. And Shraddha means serving Krishna is the only business I have. And if I serve Krishna, all the other business will be fulfilled. In this respect, Prabhupada once mentioned why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas at such a young age. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas at the age of 24. And in what kind of situation Mahaprabhu took sannyas? How many of you know what was the situation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's household when he took sannyas? Yes, Shampiari?
His mother was widowed, then his wife was young, 16 years old, and her elder brother also left house.
Very good. Very good. Now consider, there was no male member in the family. No mother, old mother, young wife, and he left. And it appears to be such a cruel act that leaving a young wife and old mother, he left home. But Prabhupada is saying, by taking sannyas in this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reassured everybody that whatever is your household situation, don't worry, Krishna will take care. Whatever your responsibility, don't worry, Krishna will take care. So that is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to remind us. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to teach us. Don't worry, just become engaged in serving Krishna. And Krishna will take care. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in another occasion, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the assurance to Advaita Acharya. I'm sorry, Srivas Thakur. Srivas Thakur, after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's sannyas, could not stay in Mayapur anymore. He could not continue to live in Mayapur because everywhere there were memories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It was so painful for him. Wherever he would go, he would see the memories of Nimai. And therefore he left and he came to what is the name of that place? Isharpuri Shripat? Chaitanya Duba. But what is the name of that place? Chaitanya Duba is the Kumarhati. Kumarhati. Very good. So Srivas Thakur actually left Navadvip and came to Kumarhati. So on his way to Vrindavan, from Jagannath Puri, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stopped in Kumarhati. And he met Srivas Thakur. He saw Srivas Thakur in that condition. So he asked Srivas, what do you do? Like, Srivas, since you left, I lost interest for everything. I don't have mind to do anything. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, Srivas, then how do you maintain your family? How is your family being maintained? Srivas says, I don't know, I don't care. Nothing really means anything to me anymore since you left. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Srivas, Lakshmi Devi may have to go out with a begging bowl. But there won't be any scarcity in your house. So this is how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reassured the devotees, that Lakshmi Devi may have to go out begging, but devotee will not feel any scarcity. Devotees will not face any scarcity. So that is the meaning of faith in Krishna. Krishna has given that assurance. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given that assurance, and we have to act with that assurance. That we are serving Krishna and we don't have to worry about anything. Krishna will provide. Not that Krishna will always provide. Sometimes Krishna may put us through scarcity, like the Pandavas. In one day, they were the Samrat. Yudhishthir Maharaj became the king of the entire earth planet. By performing Rajasuya Yajna, the purpose of Rajasuya Yajna is to bring all the kings of this world under his domination, his control. So by performing Rajasuya Yajna, that is what Yudhishthir Maharaj achieved. All the kings of the world admitted to his ruling. And how did they admit it? By paying tax. They would pay tax to Yudhishthir Maharaj. That is a sign that they are subordinate to Yudhishthir Maharaj. So Yudhishthir Maharaj was in that situation. And in one day, just in one day, in few hours' time, they lost everything. And been humiliated so badly. Although they were the most powerful people in this planet, they could deal with the demigods and defeat them. Arjuna could actually deal with all the demigods. He was so powerful. He dealt with Lord Shiva. Arjuna was so powerful that he fought with Lord Shiva. That is how powerful. And Lord Shiva couldn't defeat him. So finally Lord Shiva was so pleased with him that he gave him the benediction. So such a powerful person, can you imagine, like such a powerful individual, Bhim. He had the strength of 10,000 elephants. Bhim could just grab an elephant by its legs and rip it apart. And that was a child's play. I mean, he has the power of 10,000 elephants. To kill one elephant, what is the big deal? That's what he did. When he killed the Ashwatthama, the elephant, in a flash of a moment, he just killed that elephant. He was so powerful that a Rakshasa, Baka, was hitting him with the uprooted huge tree at the back. And Bhima just looked at him, turned his face, and kept on eating. as if nothing happened. And similar thing also happened when Bhima met with Ghatotkach for the first time. Ghatotkach is his son, but Ghatotkach didn't recognize Bhima. So Ghatotkach was hitting him. And Bhim said, okay, scratch my back a little hard. Then Ghatotkach asked him, who are you? He said, I am your father. So he became even more upset. He thought that it was an insult that he is saying that he is his father. Then Bhim said that there are seven kinds of fathers. Let me see if I remember. One is Annadata, Bhayatrata, Jasyakonna Vivahita. The first three I remember. One who gives food is a father. Annadata. Bhayatrata, one who delivers one from fear, that is a father. The person whose daughter is married, Jasyakonna Vivahita, whose daughter is married, he also should be treated like a father. And then it way, this way ultimately comes to the biological father who gives. And I think the spiritual master is also treated as a father. So in this way, there are Subhim. And Ghatotkacha became even more upset. And then finally, Hirimba actually came and told that, look, what he's doing, this is your father, he identified. So then Ghatotkacha recognized him. So, such a powerful person, and can you imagine, in front of their eyes, their wife is being dishonored. And they didn't do anything because by the principle of dharma, they were sold out to Duryodhana. And a slave, a servant, they became slaves of Duryodhana. And a slave can never rise up against the master. And that's why they didn't do anything. So Krishna puts his devotees sometimes in a most wonderful situation. And in a flash of a moment, Krishna can put his devotee into a most distressful situation. It is not that Krishna will always pamper us. Krishna sometimes may put us in a very, very difficult situation. But why does Krishna put us through this situation? Simply to increase our faith in him. Simply to make us more and more dependent upon him. That is what Krishna consciousness is. But the ultimate result is that Krishna will take his devotee back to his own abode. And that is the most wonderful reward for devotional service. First thing is Krishna protects. Krishna will always protect. If we serve Krishna, Krishna will protect. In Sharanagati, do you remember what is the fourth aspect of Sharanagati? Very good. Avashya Rakhive Krishna Vishash Pala. That Krishna will positively protect me. That faith. Krishna will protect me. So this is how we have to have our faith in Krishna. We have to have our faith in Krishna. And this is the faith, some sentimental thing? No, it's real. Krishna protected Prahlad Maharaj. Krishna protected Ambarish Maharaj. Krishna protected the Pandavas. Krishna protected Draupadi. There are so many examples. And personally also we see how many times Krishna protected us also individually. How many of you have experience of Krishna's protection? See, so many of you have. So this is a proof. Like, best proof is your own experience. When you see that how Krishna protects, how Krishna protected you, that is the best proof. So with this faith, we must carry on serving Krishna. Shraddha. Then Shraddha, it'll begin with Shraddha, the faith, and then it'll increase. Adho Shraddha, Shraddha will lead us to Sadhu Sangha. Here it is said that Sadhu Sangha is going to lead to Shraddha. Shraddha Ratir Bhakti Ranukrameshati. But again, we are seeing that Shraddha will lead to Sadhu Sangha. Which actually means although our devotional life will begin with Sadhu Sangha, but due to Shraddha, we'll actually understand the importance of Sadhu Sangha. Shraddha, Rati, Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Anartha Nibritti, Nishtha, Rati, Ashakti, Bhav, Prema. So, In this verse, it is pointed out that those who are constantly engaged in the devotional service, in the association of a devotee, a person gains distaste for sense gratification in this world and in the next world. What is the result of devotional service and the association of devotees? We lose taste for sense gratification. Losing taste for sense gratification means, what is the meaning of losing taste for sense gratification? Means becoming free from material bondage. Desire for sense gratification is the cause of our material bondage. But performing devotional service, we lose taste for sense gratification. And how does it happen? It happens param drishtva, by getting the higher taste. We render devotional service and we get the taste of devotional service. And then that makes us realize the futility of material sense gratification, material attachment. And then not only we lose taste, we lose taste for sense gratification in this world, but we also lose taste for sense gratification in the next world. Actually, some people, especially the Vedas in Karmakanda, is actually directing that next world is the goal. In this life you suffer by performing austerities, and in the next life you'll enjoy. Just like now you go to school and colleges and universities and perform a lot of austerities. In school and colleges, what do you go through? You go through austerities. Studying means austerities. You want to play, but you have to sit down and study. You want to go out and do so many things, but you have to study. That's the austerity you perform. Why you perform that austerity? So that you can get a good job afterwards. So this is the general tendency. Suffer now to enjoy later. But in Mahabharata there is a story of one sage. He was told, the chariot came from Swardaloka, heavenly planet, to take him to the heavenly planet. And so he asked the chariot driver who came to take him, who came to escort him to heavenly planet, "Please tell me, what is heavenly planet like?" And he started to describe the heavenly planet as such a wonderful place to be in. You can just, it's a most beautiful place, full of beautiful palaces, full of beautiful gardens, full of beautiful flowers. And then there is no fatigue. It's all fun. You never get tired. You drink somaras, and you get rejuvenated. And there are so many beautiful girls to enjoy with, apsaras. And then there are beautiful musicians, gandharvas and kinnaras. They will sing songs for you when you are enjoying with your girlfriends. So all kinds of facilities are there. And then he told him that, "Look, all these benefits about heavenly planet you have described very nicely. Now tell me, what are the defects of heavenly planet? What is the deficiency?" And he said that the deficiency is that, you see, when you enjoy the heavenly planet, your pious credit gets debited. You lose your pious credit. And then when you lose your pious credit comes to almost nil, then you lose your right to stay in the heavenly planet and you fall down to the earth planet. Then the sage was very smart, very intelligent. He said, "If I have to come back again to the earth planet where I'm already in, what's the point in going there? If I have to come back here again, then why should I go for some temporary enjoyment? Now, in this way, indirectly, Mahabharata is actually pointing out that the heaven is not the real goal. And this, he said, that can you tell me about some place where there is an uninterrupted enjoyment and from there I don't have to come back again? Of course, this chariot driver said, so I don't really know about such a place. But indicating that if you come across, there is a place like that, and if you come across the right person, he will give you the information of that place. Who is that person? He is a devotee. Devotee comes and tells you a place which is beyond heavenly planet, beyond this material nature, beyond Brahmajyoti. That is the spiritual sky. Jat gatvana nivartante. Once you go there, you don't have to come back. Saddhama paramangama. That is my paramdhama. So the goal, ultimate goal, is actually paramdhama, Krishna's own abode. And now the point is that yoga is the process of going there. But then in this verse, Kapila Dev is pointing out that the way to go to that place is actually bhakti yoga. Yoga is the way, but through it's bhakti. All the other yogas that are there, they're yogas because they're mixed with bhakti. Without bhakti, they are not yoga. Karma plus bhakti is karma yoga. Jnana plus bhakti is jnana yoga. Dhyana plus bhakti is dhyana yoga. And then he is pointing out, although these are the other methods, other processes, but the easiest one is bhakti. Pure bhakti, plain bhakti, simple bhakti. Just serve Krishna and you don't have to do anything. Just try to love Krishna and express that love and you don't have to do anything. Just serve Krishna in the association of devotees. Rijubhi, Prabhupada is pointing out. This is a very easy way. Ashtanga yoga, can you imagine what you have to do? Can you sit cross-legged for 1 hour, Padmasana, in lotus posture? How many of you can do lotus posture? Okay, for how long can you do that? 5 minutes. For how long can you do that? 45 minutes. After that? Now, there are asanas, some asanas. Do you know Mayurasana? No, Mayurasana. Do you know that? What is the Mayurasana like? You know? What is the Mayurasana like? Yeah, okay. Good. Mayurasana is you rest your body on these arms. And then you lift your body all the way, resting on your arm. Okay, now before that, let us go to the thing. Do you know Shirshasana? Headstand. Stand on your head. How many of you can do that? Okay. Okay, standing on your head is difficult. But it's not that difficult. If you can do it, it's easy. But stand, so now you consider you standing on your head. Your arms are clasping and giving the support. Now it's not like that. Your arms, you are resting your body, lifting your body on this arm. And then your body is like a peacock. Your legs up, and it's one of the very difficult asanas. And so you can see asana is so difficult, right? And then after asana comes pranayama. What is pranayama? Do you know what is the meaning of what is pranayama? controlling of the breathing, life air, controlling prana. There are five airs, pran, apan, saman, van and udan. So out of that, prana is the most important, because the prana is retaining the soul within the body. So breathing is caused by prana. We are breathing, that is caused by prana. So controlling prana means, literally means, to stop breathing. Breathing process has three aspects: inhaling, exhaling, and retaining. Rechaka, Puraka, and Kumbhaka. So Kumbhaka is the retaining. And yogi practices to retain his prana within the body. For how long can you stop breathing? For how long can you stay without breathing? So it seems that many of you must be very expert, because you are smiling so joyfully. Yes, Jamuna Priya?
Just a few seconds.
Huh? Okay, few seconds. How many of you can stop breathing for a minute? How many of you can stay without breathing for 2 minutes? Get a watch. When we were young, we used to do that. We used to go underwater and we used to try out who can stay the longest. Somebody used to count time with watch. And we used to count time by counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. But can you imagine for a yogi, for how does it stop? Okay, I'll tell you one thing. Like, how many of you went to Kumbh Mela this year, to Haridwar? Which tent was most popular?
Pilot
Baba. Why Pilot Baba's tent was so popular? Do you know? Right, very good. And where is this lady from?
Japan.
This lady is from, Pilot Baba has a disciple from Japan. And she was going in samadhi. How was she going in samadhi? She was going into a box. And the box was buried underground. And it stayed, kitna samay tak raha?
30 days.
30?
30 days.
No.
Huh?
She stayed underwater, under the thing for 7 days? I thought some hours. How did she do it? The simple question. Because of pranayama. So a simple Japanese lady can stay underground through pranayama for so many hours. Even if it, 30 days, no, 30 days. 30, maybe 30 days she has demonstrated. 30 din tak shayad dikhaya hoga. Balki kabhi jabhi jati thi aur log dekhta, and that's why this tent was so popular. And so, just see, a person can control his breathing, that means stop breathing for so many hours. Now can you imagine what a yogi can do? I myself saw some. Once I came out of my house, and I saw on the main road, there was quite a big gathering. A lot of people standing. It was in Calcutta. And I was curious and I went and I found that two legs are sticking out of the ground. That is, somebody is half buried, head downwards, and his legs sticking out. I said, okay, fine, what to do? He's doing it. And I left. And I think I came back after about 2 hours or 3 hours. And I saw the crowd still there, and I saw the boy. I mean, from the legs I could see that it was a young boy's leg. It was just not an old man's leg, you know, like from the shape of the leg you can figure out. And I could see that it's sticking out like that still then for 2 hours, 3 hours. So, so that is how this, I mean, these people control the breathing through the process of pranayama. It's a science. It's an exercise through which one achieves perfection. Now, can you imagine what a yogi does after so much methodical practice? How does a yogi live for so long? A yogi lives for so long through this process of pranayama. So now, mind you, the pranayama is not the ultimate goal of yoga. It's only the fourth stage of yoga. What is the fifth stage of yoga? It's pratyahara. Pratyahara is performed after completing, after achieving perfection in pranayama. Pratyahara means withdrawal of the senses. The senses are completely withdrawn from outside and projected inside. Then begins dhyan, meditation. And then dharan, and then finally samadhi. The samadhi is the stage when a jivatma sees the paramatma in the heart. Can you imagine how difficult the process is? Some yogis practiced for thousands of years and still they could not achieve perfection. Whereas bhakti, as Kapil Dev is pointing out, bhakti is performed so easily. Like we are seeing, are you all performing bhakti? Is it difficult? Is it difficult? How many of you think that it's difficult? It's difficult. Why is it difficult? For bhakti, I mean, are you doing bhakti or are you doing meditation? Then you are doing bhakti. Bhakti means what? No, bhakti literally means to serve the Lord. When you serve the Lord, say, think of some service to the Lord. Think of some service. Is it difficult? Then? What is the but?
So, while doing it, I should always think of the Lord.
Not necessarily. Like, say, somebody is making a garland for you. Do you really care whether he's thinking of you all the time when he's making the garland? Or when you see the garland is beautifully made, then you appreciate the garland. Similarly, Krishna, you see, bhakti is not what, how we are thinking of Krishna. Bhakti is what we are doing for Krishna. And the outcome of that is how Krishna is seeing us doing that. Not how we are seeing Krishna while doing that, but how Krishna is seeing us doing that. And what is Krishna is saying? Seeing. Krishna is seeing whether you are doing it for yourself or whether you are doing it for Him. That is the only thing Krishna is saying. Are you doing it for your name and fame? You are making a beautiful garland so that everybody will say, oh, Shanti Rupa made such a beautiful garland. Is it because of that you are doing? No. Why are you making the garland? For the pleasure of the Lord. And Krishna will be pleased when He sees that you are just doing it for His pleasure. Is it difficult? So bhakti is not at all difficult. That's what Kapil Dev is saying. Rijubhi, very easily executed. Very easily executed. Now, okay, I'll go into another, even if it is difficult to think of Krishna. Compared to Ashtanga Yoga, is it easier? So is it easier? Is he, again, is a relative consideration. Whether it's more difficult or less difficult. Now, which is the least difficult spiritual activity? Bhakti. So it's the most easy, but the benefit is the highest. Sanatan, if you behave like that, then I think we have to take action. And you know what the action will be. The action will be to put you in a place where the doctors will take care of you. The mental doctors will take care of you. Do you want to be there? If you don't want to be there, then behave yourself properly. It's a mental case and we are just trying to... I mean, if it becomes too difficult, then I think we have to take, put into a mental hospital. So, okay, any question? Yes, Srinivas.
So, when Lord Chaitanya showed his examples on how Krishna would take care of us, is it completely through his mercy, right? He showed the example of his mercy becoming easy.
Yeah. He is citing the example so that we can, you know, he is citing extreme examples. When the Lord comes and sets the examples, like when he set the example as Lord Ramchandra, nobody can actually do things like what he did. He sets the perfect example for us to follow. Similarly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a devotee is setting a perfect example. But not that everybody have to follow that particular example. Only Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could do that. But our feeling will be that since Mahaprabhu set that example, let's act accordingly. And yes, he is giving us the assurance that you do that. You do, you act like that. And I will take care of you. So that's the assurance Krishna is giving time and time. You take shelter of me, I will take care of you. Doesn't even a father make a condition like that to his son? You become obedient to me, I will take care of you. A rich father, or what does a rich father want? He wants that his son only should be submissive to him. And then the father is prepared to do anything for him. But if the son is disobedient, then the father should have to go on your own. So that is Krishna's attitude. If you want to be on your own, go ahead. Suffer and see, let us see. And if you want to come back at any time, you can come back. That's Krishna's condition. He left two options open to us. Either we remain with him or we leave him. And Krishna's offer is, if you want to stay with me, you can stay with me. But if you are that bent on leaving, you can go and see what it is like to be on your own. And how is it like to be on your own? Tell me.
Not nice.
Very smart. Very wise. So what to do? Surrender to Krishna. And when you surrender to Krishna, then Krishna will take care of you. Yes, Radharani. It's covering it all. That Prabhupada is saying. In this purport, is it in this purport? Yeah. Prabhupada, yeah, actually, I mean, not fully, Prabhupada is actually pointing out in the purport. But a devotee in the association of devotees prefers to contemplate the activities of the Lord how he has created the universe, how he is maintaining it, how the creation dissolves, and how the spiritual kingdom of the Lord, how in the spiritual kingdom the Lord's pastimes are going on. There are full literatures describing these activities of the Lord, especially Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Sanghita, Srimad Bhagavatam. See, you know, like it's four aspects are being described here. How the Lord creates, how the Lord maintains, how the Lord is performing his pastimes, and how the creation dissolves. So these are all different aspects of, as you said, Poshanam. The Poshanam aspect is the maintenance, how the Lord is maintaining. We get to see how he is maintaining everybody. I mean, for that we don't need to make a big research. We can just look around and see. Like, you can ask anybody, Shankar, how old are you? 47 years old. And how many... So, did you get your food every day for this 47 years? Who supplied that food? How much food you consumed? Right? Who gave that food? Right? So for 47 years, for 27 years, or 74 years, we all are being maintained. Food, water, oxygen. Who is maintaining us? Krishna. So this is how we can see how Krishna is maintaining. And in this way, he is actually maintaining not only us individually. Krishna is maintaining everyone in both the material and spiritual world. And do you know the dimension of the material world? And it's only a fraction of the spiritual world. How many living entities are there? Krishna is maintaining all of them. Yes, Shankar.
Sometimes we see that we are lacking in Shraddha due to something is driving us back. So, what should be done? Particularly, yeah. I feel that due to past karma is happening.
You see, any movement, anything that moves, moves in waves. You know that? Like light moves. How does light move? Light moves in waves. How does sound move? It waves. How does the water move? It waves. How does air move? It waves. Wave means going up, coming down. So when we are moving in our spiritual life, sometimes we go up, sometimes we go down. That is a sign of the movement. So not that we'll always be, if we're in one situation all the time, that means we are not moving. We are stagnant. Movement means ups and downs, waves. So yes, sometimes you'll feel very enthusiastic and sometimes you'll feel down. But when you feel down, then again you'll see from the down situation, you'll go up again. If something will happen, then you'll go up again. The main thing is you have to remain in Krishna consciousness. That is when it'll count. Like a football game is going on. Where they're playing? In the field. Now, if you go out of the field and start dribble with the ball, will you take any notice? Will it have any effect? But inside the field, you are dribbling, you are scoring goals, you are making fouls. So it all is happening and everything is counted. Therefore, we have to remain in the field of Krishna consciousness. And field of Krishna consciousness means association of devotees. Remain in the association of devotees and render service to Krishna. Krishna will take note of every single thing that you are doing for him.
This remaining point you mentioned about keeping faith in the Lord. When we are serving, sometimes we see that things are not going as like we desired for the service. So there are two ways we can see it. One is like we can see it as Krishna's test to us, and the other thing is maybe Krishna doesn't want it this way. Krishna wanted some other way. So like, how do we judge?
If you have a doubt, then ask the devotees. Because we may not always understand Krishna's will. But the devotees know Krishna's will, Krishna's will. Therefore it's always advisable to consult with the Lord Krishna. Okay, so I'll stop now. Thank you all very much. Gaur Premananda.